He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning, March, April the 15th. Normally, this is a day when we'd all be scrambling to get everything together, receipts, and, you know, get off the tax form to the post office, get it stamped in time, but a little reprieve this year. This is April 15th, though. This is tax day. And we do have a rally, although I'm having a hard time finding much of anything exciting. I haven't found anything exciting yet. I'm not quite sure what's leading this rally. But we are up. The Dow is up 232 points, 33,962. That is a new all-time high on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the venerable old average. The NASDAQ is up 117, and again, I'm having a hard time finding where the strength is. 13,972. Maybe it's in Bitcoin again today. Yesterday it was in the value stocks and the commodity stocks. Woo, they were on fire yesterday. S&P 500 up 27. 41.51, there's an all-time high. The S&P has exceeded most, I mean, the great majority of analysts' target price for this year was like 4,000, and here we are at 41.51, and it's only April. Russell 2K not participating at all. Small caps up just a point here today so far. They had a not a good day yesterday. Either did the NASDAQ, roughed up yesterday. Crude oil down 39 cents, but 62.76. Gold a little bit of a rally here, 17.55. I see some gold stocks moving in the early going. Silver's down, is up 31 cents. You've got the 10-year. Can you believe this? It's all the way down to 1.58. We've got a bond rally on our hands. Where did that come from? And Bitcoin, 62,981. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, soon to be merging with Southport Capital, which I've been talking about here this week. That will happen in about 3 weeks' time. Still a lot of little details to be worked out as we combine our systems, etc. Yes, we will have more than one more than one custodian to offer. We're with Ameritrade now, which will become Schwab at some point, but that's still several months away. But now we will have, if you've got a Schwab account now, that makes it real easy to put us to work for you. And there's other platforms available too, including Goldman Sachs, and I want to say Raymond James platform too. So anyways, no changes. My job is to sit here and manage the stock portfolios and report to you what I'm observing in the market. I'm like a fishing guide. I fish these waters every single day, the waters of the market. Yesterday was a very different day, but it's kind of back to what was leading the market before we had this little stumble with the J&J vaccine. You had a little bitty rally in the work-from-home stocks. That's settling down again. But yesterday, there was a huge move in the commodity stocks. Holy cow. I mean, to tell you, Freeport-McMoRan and the oil stocks, Chevron and the EOG and the corn and wheat and soybeans and sugar. Of course, there's ETFs that cover all of these things, aluminum, steel. It was across the board a very, very, very sharp and strong commodity trade yesterday. Fertilizer, agriculture, a lot of those stocks made huge moves yesterday. They're consolidating those moves today, but that was definitely something to take note of. And there was also a big move yesterday in those value stocks as the work-from-home stocks started to settle after a little bit of excitement on the Johnson & Johnson pause. We don't know how long that pause is going to be. The CDC has not decided, the FDA, whoever has to decide, they haven't quite decided yet on what to do. But I got a hunch that they will start the vaccine back up again. The odds of getting a blood clot are minimal. But still, you know, I mean, the odds are still, the potential is still there. And it doesn't seem like the Pfizer and the Moderna ones have had any issues like the AstraZeneca and now the Johnson & Johnson one have had. So yesterday, the NASDAQ did not look good with the news that, you know, the Johnson & Johnson pause probably just be a few days. We saw a new all-time high for Bitcoin, the Coinbase IPO. That stock out of the gate yesterday, and its market cap right now, $66 billion. That's one of the largest companies to go public in recent memory. Is it really worth $66 billion? I have no idea. Well, I've got to see where their looks like their annual sales are growing rather rapidly. In sales, they're at about 400, 700. They're at about 1.2 billion in sales. So that means this stock is trading at about 50 times sales. Oh, I thought, that. No wonder my heart is palpitating. 50 times sales, yeah, that's right, 1.2 divided by 66 divided by 1.2, 50 times sales, okay? Earnings, P.E. ratio, 201. The forward P.E. ratio, about 130, somewhere in there. I know Kathy Wood, her ARK ETF, between three ETFs, she bought $250 million in Coinbase yesterday. C-O-I-N. It's Bitcoin-based, okay? Well, let's see what else we had yesterday. We had some earnings come in from the bank stocks. They've been the leading sector in the market so far this year. Regional banks up 66%. Was it 44% since the beginning of the year. Who would have ever guessed? The financials also had a good day yesterday. And we've had two very important reports on the economy come in today, and they both came in stronger than expected. Begin with the March retail sales. Well, you know what? There's some pent-up demand there, isn't there? We were locked in our homes, ordering from home, having stuff arrive from our door, but there's obviously still an appetite to get out there and do a little shopping. March retail sales up 9.8% month over month. The consensus was 5.6. So that was a very, very strong report. And the jobless claims this week, the best in quite some time. They fell 193,000 to just 576. Well, that's still too high. We were in the 200s, under 300, for a long time before COVID came around. And then we had just some monster quarters or weeks of claims. And now it's settled down into the 576,000. That beat the consensus, which was 695,000. So a couple of better than expected economic reports here today. The Fed beige book, I don't know why it's beige. You know, why isn't it aqua or something like that? Beige, so dull. U.S. economy accelerates to a moderate pace, says Jerome Powell. Well, that should come as no surprise. He said specifically some areas hit hardest by the pandemic, showing signs of reviving. Well, I'm seeing it at the restaurants and the hotels. and that kind of trade. Reports on tourism were more upbeat, says Powell, bolstered by a pickup in demand for leisure activities. Well, there's some pent-up demand there, too, to get away, to sit around a pool at a resort or whatever, to get out of town and do a little visiting, a little tourist type of activity. He says that improvements, though, ran across most parts of the economy. Auto sales, non-financial services, manufacturing, banking, housing, and betting on PGA golf. I just threw that in. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second quarter of Best Stocks Now. I would just say that looking underneath the hood of this rally in the market, it's anemic. It really is, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it fade throughout the day. We'll see. You never know, but I'm just not seeing, you know, the best moving stock out there is up like 14%. I mean, that's out of 6,000 stocks. And they're very low-quality stocks that are up. I would say right now the ones that stick out to me, NVIDIA, as I looked at the NASDAQ, that was really the only one that kind of stands out. There's your stock of the day, NVDA. They've got some new chips coming online. They've got some new servers coming online. Raise their guidance going forward. There's your chart of the day, NVIDIA. Amgen is having a strong day. Problem with Amgen, there's no growth there at Amgen. That's a biotech. Biotechs overall are having a pretty good day. And then one that we own, I'm going to save that for my featured stock of the day. That's the other chart of the day. It's one of our biggest positions here. And that's where the action is. It's not very widespread. You know, someone's going to be wrong in this debate. I would just say that I'm at the opposite end of the scale from ARK Investments' Kathy Wood, who gets a lot of press. She gets a lot of publicity. She sees the market spreading out and, bringing more stocks are joining into the rally and more sectors. I see just the opposite. I have A plus momentum stocks that I look at every single day. I had back in February 8th, they topped out at 1,300. So in a database of about 6,000, I had 1,300 A plus momentum stocks. Today I have 188. So I don't see the market broadening out. I don't know what she's seeing. The market has gotten very, very narrow, and less stocks are participating in the market today. And we've already seen, you know, some pretty heavy sell-offs in a lot of the high-growth stocks. And from where I sit, those heavy sell-offs continue. I mean, they might have a day or two here or there, but these big high-growth stocks, they don't look very healthy. That's all I can say. As a guy who's been looking at charts and valuations and P.E. ratios and price to sales for the last 24 years, I'm not seeing what she's seeing. Okay, yesterday, as I said, the Dow's a very strong chart right now. The S&P 500 is a very strong chart. But when you look underneath at the components, it's hard to find much strength in any individual stock. The interesting thing is, you know, Alcoa traditionally kicks off earnings season. There's two stocks that are traditional kickoffers. That's Alcoa and it's Fastenal. And then, of course, the big banks, which reported yesterday. So that's the beginning salvo of earnings season. And we've never really anticipated Alcoa's earnings for a long time. It was once a member of the Dow, one of the Dow constituents. But having said that, Alcoa stock is exceptionally strong right now, one of the stronger stocks in the entire market. And they're going to report earnings after the close. That, to me, looks like the most exciting earnings report that we'll get tonight after the close. And J.B. Hunt, that's a trucking company. You know, those trucking stocks have also been doing very, very well. Yesterday was also a very strong day for the energy sector, the oil stocks, as the drawdown in our inventories was a little bit higher than expected. And you've got oil back at $62 per barrel. And, of course, that also helps stocks that sell, you know, petroleum-related products. Dow Chemical had a very good day yesterday, and other chemical stocks. Of course, the oil stocks had a very good day. Now, I hope there's enough oil to run Texas. Texas had a near miss yesterday on more blackouts. It got up to 80 degrees. What's going to happen when it gets hotter? They are examining their utilities there to see, you know, if they're prepared for a long, hot Texas summer. But they had a near miss yesterday with a blackout. The EMA, that's the European Medicine Agency, they haven't decided what to do yet with J&J's vaccine. Maybe they're watching for our lead. You know, the other one, AstraZeneca, I believe, is still shut down in Europe, or maybe to certain segments, and they're looking at J&J. So what's next from the Federal Reserve? Well, Jerome Powell had an online interview yesterday hosted by the Economic Club of Washington, D.C. He's basically saying that we seek inflation that's moderately above 2% for some time. Well, that's about what we have right now. He also sees the Fed at some point to start tapering its bond buying program before it starts to boost the federal funds rate target range. So in other words, taper tantrum is around the corner, and then the next shoe to drop, and that pretty much, I think the most important thing to watch going forward is going to be inflation and the yield curve and interest rates. Now, they've fallen back today. Maybe he soothed the bond market. We're down around 1.60 right now today on the 10-year. But the next two shoes to drop would be first tapering, and then at some point an interest rate hike if inflation gets too hot. The other interesting thing he talked about, he was asked about cryptocurrencies. He says he prefers to call them crypto assets, not currencies, and describes them as a speculation vehicle akin to gold. Well, I think there's a big difference. At least gold is something tangible. You know, gold coin you can hold in your hand, where Bitcoin is some kind of intangible buried out there in space. I worry about Bitcoin. But, hey, for now, it's, what, 62,000, 63,000. Now, what would cause the Fed to raise interest rates? Well, inflation expectations. That's what Vice Chair Richard Clarida said on Wednesday. He says as long as inflation remains about 2%, we're okay, but if you start to see inflation drift up, that's when the Fed would act. So that's why we have to really watch inflation going forward. Well, Bitcoin, it hit almost 65,000 yesterday, but I noticed that the Bitcoin-related stocks like MicroStrategy, Marathon Digital, Riot Blockchain, they had some pretty big sell-offs yesterday while Bitcoin was roaring. Who knows? Maybe this big Coinbase IPO, which I want to talk about when we come back, maybe that's the top of Bitcoin? I don't know. I just, you know, I have a nervous feeling about Bitcoin going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll talk about some stocks, too, when we come back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I looked at the Dow components. There's only two that really stand out to me, United Healthcare and Visa. I looked at the S&P 500 charts, the leaders there. There's only three that stand out, and one is a kind of a breaking news here, Newmont Mining all of a sudden, NEM. There seems to be an inflation trade sneaking back into the market. NVIDIA definitely is a standout chart in the S&P 500. And the other one is Progressive Insurance. You know, insurance companies have done very well. It's an exciting group, let me tell you. Let's see. The other ones that stand out so far, I told you about the NASDAQ, not a lot there at all other than NVIDIA and Amgen. So, you know, it's a very narrow move in the market is what I'm seeing so far early on, with a long ways to go between now and the close. All right, here's the, I remember a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, when I taught workshops and traveled around, I would say the number one question that folks asked me was, what do you think of the cannabis stocks? Back then they called it marijuana. I guess it's more politically correct to call it cannabis. I don't know. The results are the same in my book. But I said, you know what? The problem is it's a crop. It's like growing strawberries. There's not a lot of profit, and it's going to get really competitive. There's going to be numerous different kinds of businesses that are associated with it. I've seen a few winners. I would say the biggest winner was the REIT that leases property, so they're kind of a picks and shovel stocks. But overall, there hasn't been much money made, and I think there's been a lot of money lost in the cannabis stocks, and that was my answer back then. I don't like them. Well, the question I get asked the most when I do a workshop these days, and look for, you know, I'm hoping to at least do a monthly webinar. Okay, that's my goal. I did my first one this month for an investment club in Sun City, Arizona. And I would say the question I get asked the most, what do you think of Bitcoin, Bill? I don't know what to think of Bitcoin. Here's what I know. I know Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Of course, they're considered dinosaurs by the Robin Hood crowd. I consider them to be wise old men, okay? There's nothing wrong. I think with age comes wisdom. If you you spend your time in a good manner, I think wisdom comes with age. And Charlie Munger's been known to call Bitcoin sewage. Okay, he's a little bit stronger than me. And over at the other end of the coin, you've got, over at the other end of the Bitcoin, you've got people like Elon Musk and Cathie Wood and Mike Novogratz and others who think it's the best thing since sliced bread. And they're cleaning up, right now. Well, you know what? I'm much closer. Let's just put it this way. I'm much closer to Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett than I am to Cathie Wood and the other Bitcoin cheerleaders out there. I don't think it's going to end up well. I don't know when the reckoning comes, but, 24 years in the business, hopefully I've gained a little bit of wisdom. I've seen people trading stock splits. I've seen people trading dot-coms. I've seen people trading the latest in battery technologies. autonomous cars and cannabis, and none of it's ended up very well. You know, you'll have your few days or a few months where it just explodes, and you think there's no end to the upside. And that's when I start to really worry. I mean, you go back to the Holland tulip bulb bubble, you go back to the dot-com bubble, you go back to the single-family home bubble, the mortgages packaged as AAA, you know, quality paper bubble. None of them ended well. They all blew up. So, well, I don't think this one's going to end well. So I would nibble at the edges of it, but I think, you know, there's some big money in this thing now. Coinbase is now a $66 billion. So, you know, I was just looking at some of the articles in Seeking Alpha today. Should I buy Bitcoin stock? Contributor David Trainer says Coinbase's valuation remains ridiculous. I'm in that camp. I would look at Coinbase at their price to sales, their price to earnings. It's more than ridiculous. But contributor Orange Ranger is more diplomatic, writing that Coin faces a mix of tailwinds and headwinds in the short term, unleashing animal spirits. Well, that's what I see. Animal spirits will provide an entertaining ride, but the real price discovery begins today when Coinbase hits the tickers. Well, the market will determine. I mean, now it's publicly traded. The market will determine what it is worth. So let's take a look at its all-time high. You know, I saw this kind of action in Tilray when it went public. Let's see. Coinbase has gotten as high as yesterday got up, I think, to $500 per share. My little tracking thing was 428 was the high, $429.54. It's down to 332 now. So if you bought it at 429, you're down 25% from the all-time high. It went public at 250. That's where it was priced. And right now it's 332. What's it worth? Well, I think it's too soon to tell. You know, maybe 10 times sales, somewhere in there. If you go with the 10 times sales reading, you're at about, 12 billion, 15 billion. It's at 64 billion right now. I'm in the camp of it's ridiculously priced. All right, let's move on from Bitcoin. Well, Kathy Wood, ARK Investments buys Coinbase for three funds. And she also shed a little Tesla, the second most expensive stock in the world today. I'd have to say number one is now Coin. Well, GameStop. GameStop number one, Tesla number two, Coin number three. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have momentum and people aren't going to have, they're not going to have big days. But just understand the valuation risk that these stocks possess. Bill Gates backed Vicarious Surgical. Well, vicarious means to do it, you know, not direct, but vicariously. So it's obviously a robotic surgical company. It's going public via a SPAC. Well, those are some pretty good fingerprints on that SPAC. Bill Gates backed. I did add it to my watch list. The symbol is DEH. DEH. QuantumScape, we talk about that one a lot. There's a big short report out on that one from Scorpion Capital. They say don't get bit. Let's see how QuantumScape is doing today. It's QS. QS is one of the most heralded new. It made a 25-year-old billionaire overnight. It went to $132 per share. In late December, where is it today? $38 per share. Will that be Coinbase's fate? Will only? No. Several months down the road. But QuantumScape went from 11 to 132 in a few months, and now it's back to 38 with a big short report out there by Scorpion. SpaceX. valued at $74 billion as investors look to the moon. I guess there's still plenty of speculation in the market, isn't there? SpaceX increased the size of its last equity raise, according to the SEC filing. This is Elon's rocket ship to the moon. The company brought in another $314 million. They're investing in it like there's no tomorrow. $74 billion right now is the valuation on SpaceX. Lucid Motors, another recent hot one, CCIV, which went public via a SPAC, Churchill Capital. Let's see where that one is these days. That one went as high as 65 just a few months ago, and now it's 21. It's lost two-thirds of its value, Lucid Motors. Be careful out there. Watch your price to sales. Watch your PEG ratios. And definitely watch your forward PEs. We'll be right back with one that fits.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I'll be working on the newsletter today. If you'd like to get a two-week free trial to everything that's in the newsletter, the whole enchilada, you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with one of our advisors, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Okay, I'm going to choose a sheer value stock here that's having a really good day today. It has its up and downs. It'll have a good day, good week. I just can't get that thing to get carried on. I do have a nice profit in it so far, but I think it's worth a heck of a lot more than where it's trading at today. We're up 52% with it so far. We bought it about a year ago. Charter Communications, which is obviously a media company, cable company. I know everybody's cutting the cord with media, but that's not showing up in Charter's earnings. They've got plenty of earnings. And big earnings, big growth in earnings. CHTR is expected to increase their earnings by 31% this year and 37% next year. For whatever reason, it's having a huge day today. I haven't seen any news on it yet. Pretty light volume, but we're happy. It's having a good day. Charter is a large cap. In fact, I call it a mega cap, over $100 billion. It's $122 billion in market capitalization out of Stamford, Connecticut. There's no dividend here. It's a pure growth play. Their growth over the last 5 years has averaged 68% per year. Not bad in a cord-cutting environment with the cable companies. Charter is expected to continue to grow. According to the analysts that cover this stock, the expected five-year growth rate over the next 5 years is 22.5% per year. So the stock is currently trading at a forward P.E. ratio of 22. It's expected to grow by 22. That means the PEG ratio, it actually comes in at 0.99. It's less than 1. And price to sales, which, you know, I mean, I'm willing to make exceptions, but for the most part, I'm staying within the 1 to 3 range. Price to sales is 2.76. I have a 5-year target price on Charter of $1,234. It's trading at $634 with no guarantees going forward. That's a valuation methodology I use that produces 5-year valuations based on the 5-year expected growth rate. and the earnings that that could produce, and a multiple that I think is appropriate for a stock in this industry. It's been ranked as high as it was a year ago. It was ranked number 94. Well, it's delivered about a market return, actually. Over the last 12 months, the market's up about what this stock is up. It's been 6 months ago, it was ranked number 127. It just lacks momentum right now. But the value is there. This is a market that definitely favors value, even though there's days when the momentum darlings have their day in the sun. But overall, they've been roughed up pretty bad here in 2021. And I don't think going back into those names is the right way to go. Okay, that's me. There's others that differ from me. That's why I say go where you want to go. Do each his own. I've just watched valuations for the last 24 years, and you know, I'm seeing a lot of comparisons today to a year that remains emblazoned on my memory, and that was the year 2000. We're seeing price-to-sales ratios above the year 2000. We're seeing a similar kind of speculation in the market today. But having said that, you know, I'm 80, 85% invested in the market. I've just lowered my risk profile, especially my valuation risk profile from last year, which was a very unusual kind of one-off year with the big COVID problem. And, of course, we went all in late March. And that proved to be a very big winning move for us over the last 12 months. And I've definitely toned things down here in 2021, which I think is appropriate with the market valuation where it is. And, of course, I have different levels. We have our bond fund. If you want to buy individual bonds and hold them to maturity and have a predictive cash flow, we do our best to ferret out bonds that are matched to best stocks now. That's a good combination. You go up one level from there, and we've got our dividend portfolio, which, you know, it's not going to rocket. It's not a rocket to the moon. There's no spaceship stocks in there. They're dividend payers, but still growing. And then you go up the next level. We have our large cap growth portfolio, which has done very, very well over the last several years. And then, of course, we have our ultra-growth portfolio, which sizzled last year in that momentum environment. And then, you know, we splash in a little bit of that emerging growth portfolio for those that can take the heat, you know. And it's done very well also since inception, since we started it. So you can mix or match. That's where the advisors come in. You know, they do an assessment on your risk. They analyze your risk to see where you fit on that overall scale, and then try to put together kind of an allocation of the various funds that we think is appropriate for you. And then I go to work. Once the money's here, I go to work, putting that money to work and watching over it every single day. So once again, if you'd like to make you can now make an appointment at our Lakewood Ranch office there in Sarasota, or the Atlanta office, or the Dallas office, and more to come. There's several other smaller offices out there right now, out in California, up in Montana, and Scottsdale. So give us a call at 855-611-BEST, and we'll hook you up, get you all set up for me to go to work on your portfolios. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.